Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. We're going to be talking about sexting today. Sexting and virtual affairs. And it's a really important topic because I would say that it comes up time and time again with the couples that I work with and with the men or the women that I work with to single-handedly transform their relationship and stop divorce. So what exactly is sexting and what are virtual affairs all about? Well, sexting is sending explicit messages, photographs or videos through digital devices. And virtual and digital affairs are similar, but they can be of a sexual nature. They can also be of an emotionally deep nature. Sharing your feelings, sharing your unhappiness perhaps in your current relationship, your unhappiness in other areas of your life, or sharing good news. It's that emotional, deep connection. When Dawn caught her husband, Mark, sexting an ex-colleague on WhatsApp, her whole world came crashing down. So they began marriage counselling to discuss this issue. Mark argued that it was an innocent part-time, a bit of fun, and the girl lived in another city and no longer even worked in the company that he worked in. But Dawn had lost all trust in him. She couldn't understand why he was doing it, why he was sexting another woman, and why this married woman was talking to another married man about what underwear she was wearing and making sexual dirt jokes, sexual innuendos. And she said to me, "Nicola, I don't get it. What is the point of it? Why is he doing it? Am I unattractive? Am I not sexual enough? Am I not good enough? What's wrong with me?" she asked. She had already asked Mark these questions, but he told her that it was a game and done out of boredom. He didn't want to keep on having the conversation anymore. He told her that he wanted her, he found her attractive, and although he would like to have more sex, there was nothing wrong with their relationship. But Dawn took that badly. Dawn said, "So you're saying it's my fault you're doing this?" It caused a problem in the relationship because since the discovery, each time Mark was on the phone, she felt uneasy. And so we had to define steps that are going to rebuild trust. Because you cannot rebuild trust by saying to someone, "Trust me." Of course, you probably know that. Maybe you've even tried it in your relationships at some point. It just doesn't work. So we needed to define specific actions that are going to help them to rebuild that love and connection. Because that is exactly what it takes. Consistent, loving action over time is what really helps couples to heal from an affair and to rebuild that trust, to rebuild that connection. Where Dawn could sit there and feel, even when Mark was on his phone, that he's still being faithful to her. Whereas after the discovery, when she saw Mark on his phone, it was really making her anxious. She was wondering what he was doing. Mark also had a habit, and I know that Mark is not the only man or woman to have this habit. I think it's today's modern world. A habit of taking his phone to the bathroom. And these days, I think a lot of people are taking their phone to the bathroom. They're kind of like multitasking. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and whilst I'm on the toilet, I'll check my Facebook, I'll send a couple of text messages, I'll check my WhatsApp. One lady that I was working with said that she always went onto the dating site Tinder when she was on the toilet. And so that's something nice to think about, isn't it? It's just about people taking the phone to the toilet. That can create a lot of anxiety in relationships. Now, one, it might mean that something secretive is happening, especially if they're there for a long time. But it can also mean that actually in today's world, we're also pressured. We all have so many things, a million bits of information coming to us. And some people think, well, I may as well multitask when I'm going to the toilet, check my WhatsApp, check my Facebook, be social. So it was, anyway, it was igniting a lot of stress in her. So with her, we did a hypnotherapy to calm the anxiety so that she didn't wake up in the night and she didn't have these visual images, because she kept having images. She kept seeing things. And this was causing her to not sleep very well. And she was also finding it really difficult when Mark was going away on trips or when he was going out for an evening, work, socializing. She would start to feel very anxious, very irritated, very angry. And her head would be thought of all these questions. Why is he doing this to me? Why me? What's wrong with me? And she felt like she kind of needed to police him. So anyway, this is what happened a long time ago. And then they came back 7 months later because Dawn had found Mark messaging another girl that he went to school with on Facebook. Now, these messages were not sexting, they were more emotional, but both of them were saying to each other that they looked hot, they looked young, that they missed the good old days back in school. And this really was enough to Dawn to think about ending the relationship. She was furious. She said, "I can't trust you again now. This has happened twice. Why have you done it again?" And again, Mark apologized. And in the same breath as he apologized, he said, "Look, it's not cheating. It's not an emotional affair." He just said that he was just messaging this girl. He didn't really know why he did it. He loved Dawn. He loved their two children more than anything in the world. And if he could take it back, he would. And that he never meant to hurt Dawn. For Dawn, sorry wasn't good enough. She was tired and was considering a separation. Now, this scenario is very common. In fact, I would say as much as 70% of the couples that I work with share that somewhere along the line, one in the couple has been messaging another person, whether it's sexting or more of an emotional virtual affair. And it's not just men. Women do it equally as much in the experience that I've come across. And despite the devastating impact that sexting and virtual affairs have on marriages, it appears clear that many husbands and wives find it a highly addictive habit. It's a highly addictive habit because it's a quick high to get from sexting someone. You get an instant buzz, okay, I feel good, I feel attractive, I'm getting attention. So that's just one of the main reasons why many married men and women sex message another person. And here are the other most common ones. Low self-esteem, boredom, they felt unwanted or rejected, depression relief, escape. So this is where someone feels so low that they want to just escape their reality, and sexting someone else is just distracting them from their work, their financial situation, their home life, their job, something like that. Wanting attention, like I mentioned. A partner not engaging in sex, so they feel, okay, my husband or wife doesn't want sex with me, so I'm going to just be sexting another person, and they're using that as a reason. Excitement, they feel unattractive, and this makes them feel attractive, having this attention. They enjoy the risk, addicted to the buzz of it. They're drunk and horny. Now, a lot of people do it when they're drunk, and they wouldn't actually do it if they hadn't had too much to drink. Some do it for humour, having a laugh, seeing what will come back. Some people do it because they feel uncomfortable with real intimacy in the relationship, where they can't actually open up to their partner, share their desires, share their fantasies, and so they hide this part of themselves and act it out with someone else. Some people do it for an ego boost, a confident boost, and some people do it because there's a lack of intimacy in the current relationship. And they're feeling like they need that intimacy, especially for the emotional affairs. If your communication with your partner is not very good, then this can be often a trigger to go to someone else to share what you're going through, what you're feeling. And this is how they can start. So as I mentioned, it's questioning, is it counted as cheating, sexting and virtual affairs, or not? This is what a lot of couples struggle with. Whether it's sexting another person while in a committed relationship, or having an emotional affair, a virtual affair, sharing thoughts and feelings. Is that cheating? Well, today we have access to find and contact more and more men and women than ever before. Do a simple search for people in Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and you'll find millions of attractive people, and we'll often be able to message them directly. This instant access makes it far easier for people to get a thrill out of sexting, to sense up messages, and get the attention that they crave. And then there is internet dating apps, where in just a few seconds, you can sign up and begin sexting with complete strangers. Now, sexting outside a relationship can undoubtedly create severe trust and understanding issues. Yet those caught having a virtual affair claim it does not count as cheating because it's virtual and a fantasy rather than reality. However, many will admit to me that if their partner did the same, they would not like it one bit. They would not tolerate it. So this is a key. If your partner was doing the same, would it be okay? I have witnessed that sending messages that you wouldn't want your partner to see and being secretive about it is definitely damaging to relationships, because secrecy is never good in marriage. It affects transparency and therefore a couple's emotional connection and sex life. Telling someone you fantasize about having sex with them is also not healthy for a marriage, because when you cross the lines with another person, you simultaneously neglect your spouse, whether or not it's intentional. This will lower your spouse's self-esteem as they will sense the neglect. It will diminish your closeness and it will lead to further intimacy problems in the future. Another problem with sexting is the fact that it can often turn into an addiction, and any time you put an addiction before your marriage and future dreams and goals, it's going to affect your enjoyment of life long term. Sexting and virtual affairs create a false sense of intimacy and anonymity. I've met many men and women who have been sexting others and been caught by their husband or wife, where they promised never to do it again and really meant it at the time, and yet fell victim to the instant thrill and high that it gave, and end up repeating the behaviour again and again. Because it's so easy. It's literally right on your fingertips. And so it's definitely something that needs to be looked at by you to change this, if it's you that is sexting other people, having emotional virtual affairs. And I'm sure that many people will agree that any addiction can impact a person's work performance, take time and energy away from the relationship. So it's really important to remove this as an addiction if it is an addiction. In the sex addiction counselling that I help men and women to break free from what is holding them back and hold them accountable for a new way of behaving along the way, I've noticed that sexting addiction can often be the start of a virtual affair, the start of sex addiction. They begin sexting and then it turns into physical. As little by little, they get used to hiding things, they get used to taking risks, they get used to pushing their guilt away. So virtual affairs are a slippery slope to a physical infidelity, which is another main reason why sexting and virtual affairs are harmful to marriages. And in summary, I would say that if sexting is done without knowledge to a third party, virtually, then it's infidelity. And if the third party has no interest, then it could be counted as sexual harassment. So if you or your partner like sexting, what can you do? Do it with each other. If either of you are yearning for some kind of rush, excitement in your marriage, then there's no better way to get him or her into the same mentality than to flirt with them by messaging them back and forth. Most probably like you did at the beginning of your relationship. Most probably you were sent each other really interesting, loving messages. And then only after time the messages became about logistics or finances. So why not turn back on the heat and start messaging each other? Sexting can be good for married couples living busy lives, as it can add some more passion into the relationship. Spouses can also use sexting to express themselves in a way that perhaps they wouldn't normally be able to do, they'd normally shy away from. It could be a form of foreplay, to send revealing photos to each other. And it can be spicing up the intimacy, to send a video. For couples in expat or long-distance relationships, then it can really help create a sense of physical closeness and keep the passion alive, ready for the times when they reunite. However, you may want to discuss the likes and dislikes first. As for many men and women, crudeness has a limit. Just like seeing a stand-up comedian, you want to ensure that your sexting and virtual flirting is a turn on rather than a turn off. So knowing each other's limits, knowing what is going to make your partner come towards you rather than push them away from you. In summary, sexting and virtual cheating is definitely something that is growing. And in my experience, sexting tends to create huge problems in relationships. And it also tends to happen in these cycles because of the addictive nature and because of how easy it is. Technology is at our fingertips. Smartphones have made this form of virtual cheating and emotional infidelity as easy as 1, 2, 3. So the answer to this problem, I believe, in my experience, is not to police each other more, not to track and monitor each other's behaviour, but instead to police yourself and agree on this in your relationship. Agree that it's not acceptable to have these kind of communications. Then work on making sure that if you feel tempted, that you look at why you're tempted. Is it boredom? Is it a lack of attention? Is it sexual frustration? And they're looking at taking actions and positive steps towards them than reaching out and messaging someone else. It's about really thinking before you press send, to really stop and think, would my husband or wife approve of this? Do I really need to do this? What benefit am I going to get from this? In a world and a time and an age where our time is so limited, is it really worth the time and effort messaging someone that you're never going to see, nothing's ever going to happen, back and forth? That's what I would ask myself. And is it really worth the risk? Now, it is challenging in a relationship where the couple don't agree what is cheating. Some believe that infidelity begins as flirtation, and that is infidelity. Others see a kiss as cheating, and others don't believe that infidelity occurs until there is sexual intercourse. Personally, I believe whether you call it cheating or not is irrelevant. It's about healing the relationship now. If this has happened into your relationship and you want to overcome it, then rebuilding trust is a must. So make sure you sit down and you discuss what needs to change in order to become closer, physically, emotionally, and perhaps sexually. This is really the key to changing these behaviours. Repeatedly asking why did you do it, why did I do it, often doesn't help because it just keeps people stuck in the past. So when I work with men or women in this situation, it's about creating a new plan, a new way to connect. If you would like to discuss a new way to connect in your relationship right now, or if you'd like more free support, or if you'd like to make a donation as little as $3 a month to the show, then go to my website, nicolabeer.com, and I'll also put the links to go directly to the 7 Secret Marriage ebook as well, so you can just have it all there, easy access. From my heart to yours, I hope you found this interesting and useful today. Can't wait for you to join me next week. Thank you so much for being here. From my heart to yours, have an awesome week ahead.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.